Wonderful to be a Christian. Think about Jesus. Think about the wonderful blessings of God. And it is a thrilling, exciting adventure to think from day to day about doing something for the Lord. You know, every day we ought to be thinking about doing something for Jesus. You wake up in the morning and you see a beautiful day before you. And there's another wonderful opportunity to do something for Jesus. The day passes, we don't do anything, then another day passes and we don't do anything, and then after a while, it's all gone. Day after day, it's all gone. And then we look back and we think, oh Lord, I never realized how precious those years were. I never dreamed, Heavenly Father, that it could be like this. All of those beautiful years and beautiful days I gave to my human ego and my human desire and my human reasoning. And all of my life I fussed and I feuded and I gossiped. I caused division and I found fault. And I spent all of my days for my human desire. Oh my God. And every day I told you I'd do better next day. Give me a little while and then I'd change. But after a while all the days are gone. And you say, I can't believe it, Father. Where did they go? How did they get away so quick? But they'll be gone. Man's life is swifter than a shuttle, the writer said. And it is like a vapor that appeareth for a while and then just vanishes away. You don't know where it went to. And you know what? You that have experienced what I'm saying, life is sweet. It doesn't matter what age you are. You can be 80, you can be 90. I've heard of some 130. Life is still sweet. Life to knower at 700-800 years, just as sweet as to you at 16. See, life never diminishes. Life never is tarnished. Life never grows weary. Life never gets tired. Life is always vigorous, full of ego and alive. Life is ever living. Now you grow weary. Your bones, they ache a little bit. You get the headache and the eye strain and the misery of your body, and you suppress life because of the feebleness of your human being. But life itself, while you're suppressing it with aches and groans and pains and moans, that little one is turning cartwheels and running because life is still on parade. And life is going full-fledged. So beautiful is life. And you know what the distressing part to God is? God, who is the Spirit of life, doesn't have any pleasure in death. Isn't that beautiful? Like the book we just come out with, God hath no pleasure in death. You know, this is what excites me. This is what makes it so adventurous and so wonderful and so thrilling. I know this. See, I know that I'm on the living side. And I know the one that loves me and the one that I love, me and him's working hand in hand like that. And me and him's eradicating death from the earth. We don't like it. It's not our friend. We don't fellowship it. And we're having the best time, the most glorious, exciting time. It's so thrilling from my head to my toe as we move forward to do away with all of the suppression of life, that life may again be beautiful and radiant and wonderful. See, God doesn't want you tired and God doesn't want you weary. God doesn't want you thrown in a hole, and God doesn't want you to die. Somebody said, well, why does he let me do it? Because of that very attitude right there. It's because of your unbelief that you die. Come on, folks, are you listening? That's why there's a preacher. I'm here for the... Paul said, we're helpers of your faith. We're trying to perfect your faith. It's because of you that you die. Death came by man. The Bible said death doesn't come by God. It didn't come by God. God never instigated death. Death came by man. And then God come down and spilt His blood from His veins to try to correct it, to give you life again. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life. Folks, I want you to have it more abundantly, which means filled up and overflowing. Somebody said, nail Him to the tree. We've got better things to do than talk about life. We've got to eat and drink and be merry and play ball. We've got a lot of things to do. So they nailed Him to a tree. We've got to go to races. The wrestling matches. We've got things to do. Can't mess with this fellow that's talking about life. Let that preacher work that out for himself. But see, God hath no pleasure in death. He said, Brother Pike, do you really expect me to believe that this whole thing is just because of my unbelief? If that isn't true, then explain to me why that the Bible said that Enoch was translated by faith that he should not see death. If it isn't because of unbelief, how did Enoch get by believing? Enoch used faith and refused to be in a condition of unbelief, so then he lived forever. Somebody say hallelujah. I'm talking about truth, folks. I'm trying to tell you something. Now I say me, God, working through me day after day, He's trying to tell you something. I'm trying to tell you something. So, well, I don't want to hear it. Well, all right. Every man, they say, to each his own. To me, life, to you, whatever you want to do. If you got better things to do, then you think on that. And while you think on that, that carnal intellectual reasoning of that old satanic lust and force of evil, I'll think on the wonderful virtue and life of the words of spirit and life. I'll think on them and grow stronger and greater and mightier in that wonderful eternal existence that Jesus has promised to them that believe. If thou canst believe. What a wonderful thought. I see ministers running up down the road here and there praying for the sick, and they don't even know what it's all about. They're just trying to get attention and get money. I think, Lord, how foolish, how ignorant, how unnecessary that is. And when I say that, I don't mean those that are really trying to do something for Jesus and they just don't understand any more than praying for the sick, because what they're doing, that's for Christ. And it's a needful thing. A lot of sick folks, they should be doing it. It's wonderful ministry. But folks, they need to grow beyond that. All of us need to understand that that wasn't why Jesus came into the world. Jesus didn't come into the world to heal the sick. He didn't say that. He said, I come that you might have life, that you might have it more abundant. And when you get abundance of living, anything that has abundance of life, you won't find deformities and you won't find problems. Life will override it and life will reproduce. Did you know that if you lose a leg, that if you get enough life in you, it'll grow another leg. Hallelujah. Somebody said, well, I don't believe that. Well, how did you grow the first one? Life did it. All you need is that abundant living, that's all. It'll take care of it. The wonderful words of life. He that heareth my words, believeth on him that sent me, his passed from death unto life, and shall never come into condemnation. It's so wonderful. Blindness, it's because there's not enough life back there. Complications set in. God can eradicate. God can change. So then what ought we to seek? The abundance of life. Praise God. You know, I read this not too long ago. And I feel like the Lord wants me to read it again. He gave it to me tonight. I read it, but I'm not sure that all of you thoroughly got a hold of it. But you know, the Bible said, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. And God is going to have praise out of everything. It doesn't make any difference with Him if it's a devil. He's going to make them praise God. Psalms 148, praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights. Praise ye him, all his angels. Praise ye him, all his host. Praise ye him, sun and moon. Praise him, all ye stars of light. Praise him, ye heavens of heavens, and ye waters that be above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord. For he commanded, and they were created. He hath also established them forever and ever. He hath made a decree which shall not pass. Praise the Lord from the earth, ye dragons and all the deeps, fire and hail, snow and vapor, stormy wind fulfilling his word, mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars, beast and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl, kings of the earth and all people, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and maiden, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and heaven. He also exalteth the horn of his people, the praise of all his saints, even of the children of Israel, a people near unto him. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song and his praise in the congregation of saints. Let Israel rejoice in him and that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praises unto him with the timbrel and harp. For the Lord hath pleasure in his people. The Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth, and a two-edged sword in their hand, to execute vengeance upon the heathen, and punishment upon the people, to bind their kings with chains, and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written. This honor have all his saints. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. You know, God loves praise. Isn't that right? I explained a few days ago that God doesn't love praise because he is after praise in the sense that a king would want praise. But I explained carefully how that God is the Spirit of life, and to drink him in as one would sip the sunshine from heaven, you have to praise him. He is your life. And he wants you to praise him for one reason, and that is so that you will stay alive as you drink of him, the water of life. That's unselfish, isn't it? He has no personal motive at all. As I said before, you can't make him any greater. What God has done does not make him any greater. Though he created many millions of things, it doesn't make God any greater. He was just as great before he created them. They do not offer anything to God that would make him any greater. He is the greatest of greats. He creates for his pleasure, that he might enjoy these wonderful things and that you might have the abundance of living. God not only tells Zion to be joyful in their king, which is Jesus, he says, let them praise him in the dance. You know, sometimes people will shout. Now, they say, I shouted all over that place. No, you didn't shout all over that place. You danced all over that place. When you shout is when you holler. The Bible said he'll descend from heaven with a shout. And when you shout, you holler. But when you praise him in the dance, you dance. And a lot of people say, well, I don't believe in drums and cymbals. But the Bible says to praise him upon the cymbals. Use the timbrel. Use those things and praise God. It tells us that we not only are to praise God, but it says that we are to have a two-edged sword in our hand, and that we are to execute judgment or vengeance upon the heathens. Now, this is something that a lot of people don't like. They say we're supposed to be sweet and nice and never hurt anybody's feelings, you know, and never do anything that's out of sauce. And they say, my, you injured that precious man. But the Bible says while you're shouting and while you're dancing, do like Samuel did when he hewed that man to pieces. He cut him to pieces. Samuel, the great seal, the great loving man of God that wouldn't harm anybody. Because the man was evil, Samuel took the sword and stood up and said, you have made mother's chalice, and so shall your mother be chalice. And cut him to pieces. Hewed him to pieces. Now, he did that because Saul would not do that. Saul got personal about it. And Samuel the prophet just hewed him to pieces. So it says to take a two-edged sword in your hand, and cursed is that man that holdeth back his sword from blood. Take that two-edged sword in your hand and execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishment upon the people. Bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, and execute upon them the judgment written. Said, this is your honor, saints of God. This is the honor of all the saints of God. Know ye not that the saints shall judge the world? And he said, this is the honor of all of the saints of God. I give you this honor that you are to have within your hand a two-edged sword, and you're to go forth as the mighty army of God, and you are to execute judgment upon them that do evil, and you are to bind the kings of the land and their nobles, and you are to bring punishment upon the people. You know, the Bible said concerning the ministry, said, be afraid, because they are the ministers of God. They are set there to execute judgment upon them that do evil. And not only are they set there to do that, but they also have a great mighty army of God, which is the true witnesses of God in the earth, which are the saints. And those saints are following the ministry, and they stand hand in hand with them to bring punishment upon the people that do evil. So then you see how perverted the ministry of today has perverted the church. How much perversion they have brought into the church. And how they have perverted the ways of God. And how that they have led the people to believe one thing when it's not that way at all. And how that they've called darkness light and light darkness. And how they've risen up against the children of God. That is the ministry of today. Having risen up against the children of God to put them to shame. Because ladies wanted to wear long dresses. Because men wanted to dress like gentlemen. And because you want to hold up a standard of holiness. And you want to be clean and holy and upright. So then they've risen up against you, and they've condemned you, and they have brought you before the courts of today and done everything they could to discredit you and to blaspheme the name of Jesus, that worthy name by which you're called. They found fault with you. That is the perverted powers of today, Lucifer's ministry. And at the same time, they have magnified evil. And they've lifted up people that dabble in the world, in that the world loves its own. And they've magnified movie stars and ball players and millionaires and artists and everything that pertains to the world. When the Bible said that which is highly esteemed among men is the abomination in the sight of God. They put the saints down, and they walked on the saints. And they've mistreated the saints of God, and they've made the saints look bad, and they've magnified the evil of this world. But you know what? It doesn't make any difference. We go right on praising God. We go right on shouting. We go right on dancing. We go right on praising God with the trumpet and with the cymbals, the string instruments. We go right on praising God, crying out the loud praises of God, and still right on with world evangelism and our concern being about the Father's business. Someday, and the time is near at hand, someday God will bring forth His saints and manifest them in a great way. And all of the world shall see the glory of this wonderful nation of God. You know, we are a peculiar people. We are a royal people. We are a nation, Jesus said. And we are on the verge of taking the entire world. This is why that they killed Jesus. It is because they knew that He was going to take the world over. And that they were going to lose their kingdoms. They know today that we're going to take the world over. Those great, powerful leaders, that's why they pounce upon us. Our words vex them. Our words cut deep into their heart. They've got money. They've got treasures. They're selfish. They're gullible. They let people starve to death. And they blaspheme the name of Jesus. And they pounce upon the saints of God. And they're continually oppressing or trying to suppress the life out of us as ministers. But God knows that we're going to take the world over. And they know that we're going to take the world over. And it vexes the life out of them because they know that we're going to put a stop to their foolishness and their childishness. And that all of the wealth of the world is going to belong to the children of God. Because to begin with, all of the gold and silver of this world belongs to my Heavenly Father. And since it belongs to the Heavenly Father, then the only heirs to it, that's His children, the son and daughters of God. So then that means these others that have it are a bunch of devils and they are a bunch of squatters. And they're a bunch of thieves and a bunch of robbers and liars and cheats and swindlers. And God's going to run an abstract and move those peddlers off of our land and give us back the wealth that they stole from us through our father Adam at the fall in the garden. They know that, for the saints shall rise and take the world. That's why the Bible said this honor God has given to the saints, that they should judge the world and that they should take a two-edged sword and bring punishment upon the people. And He said that the saints of God should bind those kings and bind those leaders and bind those noblemen that have stole their treasures and that have taken the things that belong to their children. You know, when God got ready to bring a great deliverance down into Egypt, you know what He did? When God got ready for that great, wonderful deliverance, He sent a deliverer. And Moses went down there and delivered those people. And when God got ready for them to go out, God didn't send them out empty-handed. Are you listening? I said, God didn't let the Egyptians keep their wealth. God caused the Egyptians to be so terrified and so torn up until they literally gave their wealth to the children of Israel. God said, I'll not send you out of Egypt empty-handed. He said, this is your treasure. This is your wealth. You're the one that's been under hard bondage. And you're the ones that's been put to the task. And you're the ones that's built Egypt. You're the ones that's labored. And all of these people have enslaved you. And all of these nobles and kings and millionaires, they have taken you as a prey. And that money belongs to you. It doesn't belong to them. All of the gold and silver is mine. The cattle of 1,000 hills, the Bible said. I give travail to the wicked that they may heap together treasures that the righteous might enjoy them. I am giving them travail. I'm letting them do all of these things so I can take every bit of it away from them and give it to my children and put those people in the flames of the burning fire. Many of them are brute beasts made to be taken and burned. So then God said, bind them and take the world over. Rise up, saints of God, and take the kingdom and possess it forever and ever. Not just rise up and take the kingdom of God. We already have the kingdom of God within us. But the Bible says in the book of Revelation, and the saints of God shall rise, and they shall take the kingdom and possess it forever and ever. And the Bible said the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God and of His Christ. So then we're talking about the kingdoms of this very world that we're living in. We're talking about America. We're talking about Germany. We're talking about Japan. We're talking about even this little area right here where we're preaching. Folks, we're talking about taking the entire world for Christ. We are a nation and we're going to set up a government. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, we're spiritual. And there's going to come a day when we get over yonder that spiritual world. And then we're going to set up a kingdom. I beg your pardon. There is a natural part to us. And Jesus, when He was resurrected from the dead, He said, fill of me. A spirit hath not flesh and bone as you see me have. And I want you to know tonight that God on this very earth right here, this very ground right here that's below our feet or beneath our feet, this very earth that we call America and Germany, this very earth that we call the world, on this very earth, Christ Jesus Himself is going to sit upon a throne in a body that's got flesh and bones. And there's going to be a people that's going to be on this natural earth, that's going to be a natural people, and they're going to take over the natural government and the natural kingdoms of this world, and they're going to rule throughout eternity. God is going to do it. So then it's a wonderful thing to be a child of God. You know, somebody said, well, I wouldn't mind being a Christian, but all of these spiritual things, I'm wondering about the Cadillacs right now. I'd like to have one of them nice vehicles right now. I'd love to have a little of that gold and silver right now. But did you know, the Bible said if you'll seek the Lord or the kingdom of God and His righteousness first, all of these things will be added unto you. I quote the scriptures so many times. I will make you to ride upon the high places of the earth. I will make you rich and add no sorrow. I will give you the desires of your heart if you'll delight yourself in me. I'll make all of your beds in the time of your sickness. Now you know there's not going to be any sickness over yonder, because the Bible said the leaves shall be for the healing of the nation. So then I'll do all of these things for you right now. I'll restore unto you fourfold of that which you give unto me. And if you dedicate your substance to me, and if you'll share with me that I can feed the hungry and do something for the needy in the time of this pressure that the church is under, if you'll work with me, I will make your barns to be filled with plenty. I'll make your presses to burst out with new wine. And your health, there's where we get our hang up right there. And your health shall return unto you speedily. And then shall you say, the Lord is my reward. Why are we sick? Why is America sick? Why is the world sick? He said, when you take the hungry and the naked and the needy into your house, when you begin to share that there may be meat in my house, and when you begin to help me take care of the needy, He said, then you'll be a healthy person. Somebody said, well, I tried it and it didn't work. You are a liar. You've never tried it. If you'd have tried it, it would have worked. Brother, the Word of God can't be broken. Somebody might have squeezed you like a lemon and they might have got a drop out of you. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about sharing with the needy and taking to heart. See a man along the road, you won't pick him up. You know, you ride down the road and here we go. And here's a man along the road and he's just begging and struggling and half starving to death. And we peep out the window, you know, and we keep on going and say, well, I don't know about that. We get down the road about 50 miles and we say, well, I might ought to stop and pick him up. I don't know. And about 100 miles away, we're still thinking about the things that, well, we couldn't go back anyway now. God understands, and off we go. Now, but you know what? A lot of times we pass up Jesus on the side of the road. Now, I know that you can't pick up everybody. I realize that. But you can pick up somebody, and if somebody picks up somebody, after a while we'll get everybody. And I know that God will take care of you, and I know that you have to be wise, and you have to watch, and you have to pray. But seeing the convenience of your nice, luxurious home and car, you can't afford to do that. And so you stay sick. And after a while, you're in the same condition that fella is that's hungry and cold out there. You do the same way in feeding somebody. You say, well, I'm going to give it to that home over there. I know they need it, but that dad is a drunkard. I'm not going to let him spend my money, but yet the little children are starving to death. Mother has no place to stay, but you can't give it because of daddy. Somebody say amen. You know, we excuse ourselves from every obligation that God gives us. Did you know that? Whether God gives us something to do at the church, or whether God gives us something to do for humanity, or whether God sends us out for world evangelism, whatever it might be, we always excuse ourselves. Always finding excuses and saying, well, I can't work over there because that brother, I can't get along with him. I can't go out on that job and help. I just can't get along with that man. I would go over there, but that old sister, she rules everything. You know, and on with your gossiping, backbiting, fault-finding tongue you go. Pardon my expressions if they sound crude. I'm like John, I'm from the country. But you know what? Jesus said the axe is laid unto the root of the tree. And every tree that doesn't bring forth good fruit is hewn down. And you know what? The Bible doesn't just say it's hewn down. But the Bible says that it is cast into the fire. It goes into the fire. God doesn't just cut it down, but God puts it in the fire, friend. Hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost, don't you? Somebody say, I don't feel nothing. That's because you backslid. Filled with your own way. The Word of God is quickening. The Word of God is alive. The Word of God is full of the power of His promise. I will hasten to perform my word. What we do, we get in a rut, and we don't share, and we don't want to help, and we don't want to do anything. And because of this, we just continue on in the same old grind over and over, fussing and feuding and fault finding. And the preacher, he comes back and he preaches the same things over and over to us. Over and over to us. Why? Because you're backslid. You're backslid on God. You're greedy and you're gullible. And you let the little children starve. You let the widows go lacking. I'm talking about widows indeed. I ain't talking about these that frolic up and down the road looking for some man and whatever. The Bible speaks of some that wax wanting. And if you try to even fellowship them, you'll be in trouble. But I'm talking about widows indeed. People that have their minds on God, people that pray and fast, people that are holy, and people that are trying to do something that's right. This is the widows I'm speaking of. And I'm also talking about church people that really want to be honest and upright before God. You know, the blessing of the Lord is upon them that walk upright. And a lot of people say, well, Brother Pike, I'm having the hardest kind of time. I just can't make ends meet. You know why? Because you're hypocritical. That's why. The scriptures can't be broken. The Bible says, whatsoever that man doeth shall prosper. Somebody said, well, I'm not prospering. That's because you're not doing anything. All you've got to do is do something and it'll prosper. Did you know that I found out that sitting at home in my chair, as long as I sit there and meditate on God and think about God and talk about God and believe God, that I prosper. Somebody say amen. Amen. I prosper. If I'm in my bedroom praying on my knees at night, I prosper. Whatever I set my hand to do, I prosper. If I go to buy an airplane, I prosper. If I go to buy a boat, I prosper. If I go to build a building, I prosper. If I go, whatever I do, I prosper. Why? Because Jesus said it was to be like that. It's to be like that. If you love Jesus, you'll prosper. Amen. Now, I'm not supposing that worldly gain is godliness. The Bible said, from such turn away. If we're going to measure it in dollars and cents and see who can get the most money by their conniving evil practices, then that's a different thing. But I'm not supposing that worldly gain is godliness. But I am telling you one thing, that he that walketh upright before Christ, the Bible says that he shall lack no good thing. Now, I don't want to ask you to raise your hand, all of you that's lacking some good things. I don't want to do that. Because I don't want to embarrass some of you. There's a lot of you in here that like to have some good things that you don't have. You know why? Somebody said, well, I give all of my money to God. You're a hypocrite and a liar. The Bible says that he that walketh upright before God shall lack no good thing. That if he delight himself in God, God will give him the desires of his heart. It's impossible to give all that you've got to God and go hungry and go lacking. There's no such way to do a thing like that. Even the Bible teaches the widow that took her last mite or her last bit that she had for her son and for her and gave it to God, that God filled her meal barrel up and her oil cruse to where it never give out again. There's no way to go hungry giving to God. So then, we are without excuse. If we are having problems, it's because of sin. If we can't get our lives straightened out in the sense of our finance, changing places isn't going to help you. Going to Texas isn't going to help you. Or going to Alaska isn't going to help you. You're going to have to go to God. Hallelujah. Did you know the Bible speaks of Asa, and the Bible said that Asa died? God smote him in his feet. And did you know the Bible said he died because he sought relief from the physicians rather than God? Going to the doctor isn't going to help you. Somebody said, let me get at that hospital. Prayer can't help me. Let those doctors, let them do something for me. But let me tell you, I want to remind you again. I used to work at a funeral home, and we took them out the back door when they brought them in the front door. We went to the big hospitals and just eased them out the back door. So the doctors isn't doing what you think they're doing. To begin with, a doctor can't heal nobody. There's never been a doctor that ever healed anybody. He may give you some pills and powder. He may rip you open with a knife and cut a part out of you and sew you up, and you'll be in worse shape than you was when you went there, like Brother Al was. But there's a possibility that he might cut the right thing out and sew you up in such a way that if you'll give God enough time and let nature take her course, that you will eventually heal up. Now, we lean on the arm of flesh. We go down to Egypt for our help. We lean on the dollars. But did you know when God sent the plagues upon Egypt, all of their gold and silver couldn't help them. Pharaoh with his great intelligence couldn't help them. All of their magicians in the land and them that could pull the little slick deals couldn't help them. God poured out his wrath upon them until Egypt looked like a rubbish heap. And the Bible said they took their silver and they took their gold and they threw it down at the feet of the children of Israel, and they called for mercy and they called for help, but God would not hear them. God turned his back on them and took his children and took them out of the land of Egypt and prepared a table in the wilderness until they had everything that they wanted. Their feet did not swell. There was not a sick one among them. He did not bring any of the doctors of Egypt along with them. He didn't bring any of those people that were supposed to be professional men. But yet God took care of them and God fed them. And the Bible said they did eat angels' bread. So then, folks, it's all in God. It's all in God. They didn't have any science and they didn't have any colleges. But they built a commonwealth that even today astounds the world. God did it. because they love Jesus. The Bible said all of them that are born of God, they don't need to go to college. The Bible said they are of a good understanding. For the Bible said the Spirit of the Lord is upon them, and that His Spirit makes them to be of a good understanding. I say this again. You take people and put them in school and they're like dogs. They're beasts. You can spend all day long saying 2 and 2 is 4. And give me your paw and roll over. And when you get through, some of them can't even remember that. But I'll tell you, you don't have to teach God's people 2 and 2. You don't have to teach them to give you their paw. They are sons and daughters of God with the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Somebody said to Christ Jesus, how is it that you know letters never having learned? And if you've got the mind of Christ in you, they'll say, how do you know all of that? You don't have a PhD. Folks, when you love Jesus and you walk with Jesus, you know more than all of your teachers. David said, I'm a young man. He said, but I know more than all of my teachers. Because I esteem thy precepts to be right. As long as you are interested in eating, drinking, reveling, doing the things of this world, lounging around, doing nothing, all of that to God is nothing, you're not going to prosper and you're not going to be blessed. You're not going to be healthy. But when you do what God tells you, you'll be like the children of Israel when their feet did not swell. And there was not a sick one among them. And God will make all of your beds in the time of your sickness. And God will supply all of your needs according to His riches and glory. And God will give you the desires of your heart. And you will lack no good thing. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, the problem is that it's hard times. No, it's not hard times. That's just in your head. And besides that, if it was hard times, I say again, what's that got to do with it? Can't you just picture the Word of God as Christ says, and my God shall supply all of your needs according to His riches and glory if times are good. Can't you just picture the Word of God saying that? If you're having good times and there's no depression, and if everything's going right and the budget of the nation has been balanced, then your God shall supply all of your needs. It's like calling California. I had somebody to call California tonight, I believe it was, or today. And I said, I want you to ask them their state of affairs out there. The answer came back, said, it's fine out here in California. Said, says, as a matter of fact, in the area that we are in, said, there's no depression. There's no lack of work. Said, everything's fine. Said, plenty of work. Everything's doing good. You understand what I'm saying? What we do, we get in a rut. And we let somebody program our minds. We let the banker program our minds. And we get back to the story of Chicken Little. The heavens are falling in. The heavens are falling in. Folks, just because the banker's having a hard time, that don't mean I'm having a hard time. You say, Brother Pike, you must be crazy. No. Paul said, this thing wasn't done in a corner. They said, Paul, much learning has caused you to go crazy. Said, you're mad. No, I sat and talked to the banker not too long ago. And he told me, he said, my heart's desire is to go to Israel like y'all go, so I can't afford it. But we can. We can afford it. Then I said, well, a lot of folks have been over there. I know that. That's good. But we didn't stop in Israel. We went on to Norway. And then we went on into South America. And then we went on into Central America. And we went on into Puerto Rico. And we went on into France. And we went into all the different places. Why did we do that? Because we can afford it. Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, you don't have any money, but I got faith. When you got faith, you don't need any money. Somebody said, let's be cute now. You know you got to have money to do things. I wonder how many dollars Peter had when he walked on the water. And you know what? Peter said, gold and silver have I none, but such as I do have, said, I give it to you. Rise up and walk. I wonder how many dollars caused Ezekiel to rise up and sail through the air. I wonder how many dollars Hope Enoch to translate that he should not see death. Folks, you don't win souls with money. Somebody said, well, we use money out here. No, what we do, we use faith out here. And then the money falls into its proper place. Faith is what we use. There was faith before there was money. Amen. There was faith before there was people. There was faith before there was tools and faith before there was buildings. We use faith and then God does it. Somebody say, ha ha, just keep my money back and see how your faith works. That'll be fine with me. Your money never has hoped my faith anyway. Your dollar has never hoped my faith. Dollars have nothing to do with faith. And with the attitude that you got and even thinking like that, that proves that I don't need yours. And if the truth was known, you haven't done anything anyway, if you'll think back. Your attitude proves that you're one of them that didn't do nothing for God. I believe in faith. I believe in walking in by faith. I believe that we're going to have faith. And I believe that it's going to take a little time at night on our knees praying and talking to God. It's going to take a little bit of the reading of the Bible. It's going to take a little bit of fasting. It's going to take a little bit of living holy and clean and righteous to be able to have a heart that can have faith. You're not going to be able to be a bunch of charismatics and join some denominational church and play in the sports world. You're not going to be able to do that and have faith. You're not going to be able to do it. You may get a brainstorm that you call faith, and you may have ministers that tells you that you've got faith because you've got a new Cadillac. I hear them all the time on the radio, and I read about them. And they'll say, God gave this man a new Cadillac over here because he had such a great faith. He gave me $1,000. A lot of that's junk. A lot of that's junk. It is true that if you give to God, God will bless you. But if you live like the devil, then somewhere down the road you're going to be in trouble. And I'll tell you that if God heals your body and you go back and do evil, the Bible said a worse of things going to come upon you. You're not going to be able to live like the devil and have God's blessings. You're not going to be able to do it. Now the world out there has mercy till the blood comes off of the seat of atonement. But you're not going to be able to have God's blessings and live like the devil. You that come to the knowledge of the truth, you that confess Christianity, if you get anything from God, you're going to have to live right. And if you don't live right, you're going to get the chastising rod of God upon you until you learn to live right. Because you're His children. Somebody would say, well, I don't know. That old hypocrite, he's got this and he's got that. The land of Esau. And if you'll check up, they got it by conniving and they got it by cheating and they got it by holding back from God and holding back from the hungry and the poor. And the Bible said if you get wealth quickly, the Bible said you'll be cut off in the midst of your days and in the end you'll be a fool. But it says that wealth that's gotten by labor shall increase. God will bless you. Take your little bit and go on with it. And enjoy God and give all that you can to God of your time and of your substance, of your talents. Let God bless it. And let God lay it up in heaven. Lay up treasures in heaven so that you can have something when you get on the other side. If you don't, we'll go back to our earlier statement. All of that which you have in this world will perish. And at your death, you lose every bit of it. You don't have anything. But saints of God, we're going to rise and we're going to take the kingdom of God. We're already doing it. We're already doing it. I know it's a boring subject to you, but it's not to me. And when I say boring to you, I don't mean the saints of God. It's boring to you, but it's exciting to me. Every day and every hour and every minute and every service and every adventurous task that I undertake for Him. So then, we come to the close of another service. To leave you that we might talk with Jesus and enjoy the fellowship of Jesus. We've enjoyed your fellowship. We do in every service. And I feel so many of you that sit here for 30 minutes or an hour and you think, well, I got to go. Let me get out of here. I'm tired. I'm weary. And the old flesh is gnawing and crawling and bickering and wanting to get out from under the voice of God and the things of God. Somebody said, well, you preached long enough, Brother Pike. I say again, Paul preached all night long, and that wasn't long enough. Somebody said, well, after you preach about 45 minutes, the anointing's gone. I wonder what happened to the anointing all night long when Paul was there. Somebody said, well, they didn't get tired and sleepy when Paul was preaching. The Bible said one of them fell down dead. He had to go resurrect him so he could preach to him again. The Bible said he went to sleep while Paul was preaching. Must have got wearisome. So then it's so wonderful to be a child of God, you know, and fellowship God all the time. You should be fellowshipping God day and night. You should be bringing every thought into subjection to Christ. You should be meditating in His laws day and night. You shouldn't be doing anything, even thinking anything, unless it's Jesus or world evangelism or to help the needy. When you leave the portals of this building right here, when you step through those doors to go outside, you should be just as religious and just as godly and just as conscientious and just as spiritual minded 3 hours from now as you was when you walked out that door. Should be more. Should have been meditating and growing. All right, let's stand together. I say again that life is beautiful. Life is beautiful. You may grow weary tonight, but life doesn't tire. Can you weary me, the Lord said? Does God grow tired? God never grows weary. You should never think of God as being exhausted. You should never think of God as being tired. You should never think of God as being weary. You should never think in a service of God that He's grown weary and tired and said all He wanted to say. God just pities you because of your weakness. We have a drive to work 8 and 10 hours a day to make money. We have a drive to frolic and ride up and down the road. We have a drive to do everything that we want to do. We have a drive to do that. We have an ambition to stay out of service until the sermon is finished. We have all kind of ambitions. Shrewd and cunning like a fox. That's why we get into the problems we do. See, we have all kind of ambitions. Isn't that right? And we're so strong and healthy to play ball and do all of these things. A lot of folks don't like it when you say ball games, but I say it anyway. That's the number one devil of the day. So, they have ambitions to do all kind of things, but they're so tired if they have to listen to the Word of God. That old demon that's got a hold of you, he'll say, you're so weary, you're so tired. And then when service is dismissed, somebody says, let's go up there and get us a hamburger. Let's get us a milkshake. I feel pretty good tonight. Let's watch the TV. Hey, let's talk about this. See, it was a devil. That's what it was. And you gave place to him and you're in trouble with God. Because God told you not to give place to him. He told you to come into his sanctuary with praise and thanksgiving and to praise him in the dance. Some of us act like we're so beaten, so tired that we couldn't dance if we wanted to. I say, well, Brother Pike, don't you understand? I tell you what, I say this again. Men years ago used to dance and praise God, and women used to shout, dance and praise God, and they'd go on until 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, ease home, get just a little bit of sleep, get up early in the morning and go to the cotton fields and pick cotton, and the men would go to plowing and work hard all day, long hours, and couldn't hardly wait to get back to the brush hour at night so they could dance and shout and talk about Jesus some more. They didn't understand all the mysteries we do today. and the things that we do today, but they loved Jesus according to what they did know. And they had a good time. They were just children in God, but they had a good time. That's the reason you don't have any strength. That's the reason you don't have any ego. That's the reason you don't have any get up and go. That's the reason your body's wearing out and you got sickness. It's because you don't give any time for God and you don't take time to be holy, to get any re-energizing or get any strength that you might be activated with His wonderful presence so that you can have that superseding strength. Moses, 80 days on the mountain, no water, no food, strong and healthy and still ready to go. Oh, the light of the glory of His unveiled face, of His unveiled face, of His unveiled face. Oh, the light of the glory of His unveiled face. It's that glory that is changing me. Oh, yes, it's changing. Changing me. Oh yes, it's changing me. Changing me. Oh, the light of that glory of His unveiled face. It's that glory that is changing me. Oh, let Thy will be done, Lord. Oh, let Thy will be done. Create in us the mind of Christ, the Father in the Son. For it's in Thy shining glory that we see that Holy One. Our hope is to be like Him. Oh, let Thy will be done. Sing it one more time, can you? Oh, let Thy will be done, Lord. Oh, let Thy will be done. Create in us the mind of Christ, the Father in the Son. For it's in Thy shining glory that we see that Holy One. For our hope is to be like Him. Oh, let Thy will be done. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. I feel like I could run through a troop and leap over a wall. Jesus is so wonderful, wonderful. Let's sing that little chorus. Wonderful, wonderful Jesus is to me. He's a counselor and a prince of peace. Mighty God is He. Oh, He's saving me and He's keeping me through all harms. Wonderful is my Redeemer, praise His name. Oh, He's wonderful, He's wonderful, Jesus says to me. He's a counselor and a prince of peace. Mighty God is He. Oh, He's saving me and keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, glory to His name. Oh, He's wonderful, wonderful Jesus is to me. He's a counselor and a prince of peace. Mighty God is He. He's keeping me and saving me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, glory to His name. Oh, He's wonderful, wonderful Jesus is to me. He's a counselor, prince of peace. Mighty God is He. He's saving me and keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, glory to His name. I said He's wonderful, wonderful Jesus is to me. He's a counselor and a prince of peace. Mighty God is He. Oh, He's saving me and keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, glory to His name. Oh, wonderful, wonderful. Don't you feel good? Don't you feel good? Don't you feel good tonight? Oh, wonderful is my Redeemer, glory. Let's sing it one more time. Wonderful, wonderful Jesus is to me. He's a counselor and a prince of peace, and mighty God is He. He's saving me and He's keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, glory to. One more time. Wonderful, wonderful Jesus to me. He's a counselor, prince of peace. Mighty God is He. He's saving me and keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, glory to His name. Hallelujah. Can you say hallelujah? Now you see what a lying devil that old devil was. He said, you're so tired. And I can tell right now you're just ready to go. Just like a young horse pawing the ground, you're ready to go. Isn't that right? All right, let's sing this chorus. And when we sing this chorus, we're going to try to let you go tonight. Give me a key, Frank. We're going to enter His gates with thanksgiving in the heart. We're going to enter His courts with praise. We're going to say this is the day that our Lord has made. Glory to His name. Can you sing it with me? How do you feel better after that? We're gonna enter His gates with thanksgiving in our heart. We're gonna enter His courts with praise. We're gonna say this is the day that the Lord hath made. Can you say it loud? Let me hear you sing it for the glory of God. Let's do it again.
We're gonna enter His gates with thanksgiving in the heart. We're gonna enter His courts with praise. We're gonna say this is the day that Lord hath made. We're gonna rejoice in Him.
Sing it again.
He hath made me glad. Oh, Jesus made me glad. I'm gonna rejoice cause Jesus made me glad. Oh, He hath made me glad. Oh, Jesus made me glad. And I'm gonna rejoice cause Jesus made me glad.
Now I want to ask you a question tonight. Are you really truly glad in your heart? I want you to lift your hands up like this. And if down inside of you that you're really, truthfully feeling the presence of God and the joy of the Lord, and you really feel glad because of Jesus, I want you to say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I'm gonna enter His gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I'm gonna enter His courts with praise. We're gonna say this is the day that our Lord hath made. We're gonna rejoice cause Jesus made me glad. He hath made me glad. Oh, Jesus made me glad. I'm gonna rejoice cause Jesus made me glad. Oh, He hath made me glad. Oh, Jesus made me glad. And I'm gonna rejoice cause Jesus made me glad.
One more time now.
Enter His gates with thanksgiving in my heart. We're gonna enter His courts with praise. We're gonna say this is the day that our Savior hath made. We're gonna rejoice cause Jesus made us.
Sing it with me now.
He hath made us glad.
Sing it for the glory of God.
Gonna rejoice cause Jesus made me glad. Oh, He hath made us glad. Well, Jesus made me glad. I'm gonna rejoice.
Let's sing it again, can't we?
I'm going to enter His gate with thanksgiving in our heart. We're gonna enter His courts with praise. We're gonna say this is the day that our Savior hath made. I'm gonna rejoice cause Jesus made me glad.
Right there now, just a minute. You know, this is the day that the Lord hath made. Ever since Calvary, we've been living in the day of joy and grace. The day that the Lord hath made, the day that Jesus has taken away all of our sins. We don't have any more sins. We don't have any more oppression. We don't have any more poverty. We don't have any more death. We don't have any more worry. All that we ever get of those things is what we believe into existence, because God done away with all of it and it's not here anymore. There is no devil to the saints of God. Are you listening? There is no devil to the saints of God. There is no sin to the saints of God. The Bible said God hath destroyed him that hath power over death. There is no death to the saints of God. There is no worry to the saints of God. The only problem that you've got is unbelief. And we refuse to have that at Bethlehem. Let's sing it again, can we?
We're gonna enter His gates with thanksgiving in the heart. We're gonna enter His courts with praise. We're gonna say this is the day that the Lord hath made. We're gonna rejoice cause Jesus made us.
Hallelujah! Sing it, can you? Let's sing for the glory of God tonight.
Gonna rejoice cause Jesus made us glad. Oh, Jesus made us glad. Oh, Jesus made us glad. And we're gonna rejoice cause...
Let's sing it one more time.
going to enter his gates with thanksgiving in the heart. Going to enter his courts with praise. We're going to say this is the day that Lord hath made. Gonna rejoice cause Jesus made us glad. Oh, he hath made us glad. Well, Jesus made us glad. Gonna rejoice cause Jesus made us glad. Oh, he hath made us glad. Jesus made us glad. Gonna rejoice cause Jesus. Just one more time, we'll stop. Going to enter his gates with thanksgiving in the heart. Going to enter his courts with praise. We're going to say this is the day that the Savior hath made. We're going to rejoice because Jesus made. Don't you feel good? Jesus made me glad. Oh, Jesus made me glad. I'm gonna rejoice cause Jesus made me glad. Oh, Jesus made me glad. Well, Jesus made me glad. And I'm gonna rejoice cause Jesus made me glad. You know what, folks? Really, from my heart, if deep down within your soul, in your innermost thinking, if you really feel that freedom, the love of God, and you know that there's not a shadow of a pin between you and heaven and God, and that you are eternally living as sons and daughters of God, and that you cannot die, and that you cannot sin, and that you don't have anything to worry about. You're completely free. The Bible said, he that the Son hath made free, he's free. I mean, he's free. And if you really, down in your heart, can just sigh and say, oh, Jesus, it's all over. It's all over. At last, it's all over. We made it in. You know, the devil, he'd love for you to think, you know, day by day, if I can just hold on. Oh, if I can just make it in. But if you just say, look, that ain't faith. This is the day the Lord hath made. I'm already in that day. I've already entered into his rest. I'm already rejoicing in confidence of what he's done for me, and realize that it's all over, that we made it in, that we're already in the kingdom of God, that God has already translated us into the marvelous kingdom of our God. We've already passed from death into life. We shall never come into condemnation. That God has not left us in the world of trouble, but he's chosen us out of the world, and we're hid with Christ in God up here in heaven. Let them that are in heaven rejoice. Tell me something. How could you do anything else but rejoice? Anybody walking around in heaven? Why, the sun shining within their strength. How could you do anything but rejoice? Most assuredly, friend, if you don't feel like I said, then there's something wrong. There is something wrong. Can't you just relax in him? Can't you trust him? Can't you believe what he said about it? What a wonderful thought. What a wonderful thought. We're going to sing this little chorus and then we're going to dismiss. If your body suffers pain and your health you can't regain, and you have to get along on mega fare, oh, just remember in God's word how he fed the little birds. Take your burden to my Lord and leave it there. Sing it with me, can you? Go and leave it there. Oh, leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. And if you'll trust, don't ever doubt,
God will surely bring you out. Take your burdens to my Lord and leave it there. Go and leave it there. Oh, leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord. Leave it there. If you'll trust, don't ever doubt. God will surely bring you out. Take your burdens to my Lord and leave them there. Sing it one more time. Go and leave them there. Go and leave them there. Take your burden to the Lord. Leave it there. And if you'll trust, don't ever doubt, God will surely bring you out. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Hallelujah. Don't you feel good? All right. Welcome to heaven. Welcome to heaven. It's wonderful up here. And all of you that are up here, you're going to enjoy it. Take my word for it. Welcome to heaven. Hallelujah. What a wonderful, wonderful thing to be in heaven. Somebody would say, Brother Pike, I know you're crazy. I thought you was. But glory to God, what a wonderful time I have up here. Welcome to heaven. Hallelujah. Everybody, welcome to heaven. How are you in heaven tonight? Let me see your hand. Praise God. All of you that's in heaven, welcome to heaven. Welcome to heaven. It's a wonderful, wonderful place up here. A wonderful place. Now let me say this. Rejoice, ye that are in heaven. Can you rejoice? Let me hear you say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise is comely for the upright. Now let me say this to the others. Woe unto you, inhabitants of the earth, for he is among you. Lucifer is among you, and he's going about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But oh, hallelujah. Thank God for them that made it to heaven. Somebody said, oh, Brother Pike, No. Somebody said, if I can just make it in, don't include me in that bunch. No. Welcome to heaven. Hallelujah. You that are in heaven, rejoice. This is the day that the Lord has made. This is that day. If you could just see the revelation and understand. You know, we speak things after the infirmities of men because you don't understand. But truthfully, folks, if you get your eyes open, you'll understand what I mean. Jesus said to Nicodemus, you don't understand. You don't understand. You know, we ought to sing one more chorus anyway before we dismiss tonight. We sing that little chorus, everything's going to be all right. Everything's going to be all right. Everything's going to be all right. Since Jesus came and saved my soul, everything's going to be all right. Everything's gonna be all right. Everything's gonna be all right. Since Jesus came and saved my soul, everything's gonna be all right. So let us praise Him. praise Him. Praise Him in the morning. Praise Him at the noontime. Praise Him. Oh, let us praise Him. Praise Him when the sun going down. Oh, sometimes I feel like heaven's come down. Heaven's come down. Oh, heaven's come down. And sometimes I feel heaven's come down. Heaven's come down on me. So let us love Him. Love Him. I want to love Him in the morning. Love Him at the noontime. I want to love Him. Let us love Him. Love Him when the sun goes down. Oh, let us praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him in the morning. Praise Him at the noontime. Praise. Oh, let us praise Him. Praise Him when the sun going down. Hallelujah. I want you to bow your heads with me. I want to say again, we appreciate you. Appreciate the blessings of the Lord. As we come to the close of another service, we want to be sure that our hearts and lives are in Christ tonight. If there's anybody that hasn't surrendered their heart to God, let me invite you to do so tonight. As we pray this closing prayer tonight, let me invite you to make a surrender to God that you might enjoy all the days of your eternal living, this wonderful abundance of joy and blessings that Jesus wants you to have. I want Brother Larry Allen to come up here tonight, if he will. While Larry's coming to pray for you, I want you to acknowledge the Lord and think upon Jesus. Think upon His blessings as Larry comes to pray that God will bless you in His threefold manner, body, soul, and spirit. While Larry's praying, give God a chance to bless you. You say, Brother Pike, how can I give God a chance to bless me? By believing. The Bible said, when you pray, believe. While you're praying with Brother Allen, believe tonight. Believe. Just relax in God. Trust God and say, you know, I believe that preacher's telling me the truth. I believe this is real. I'm going to start resting and relaxing in this and enjoying this and have the abundance of this life that Jesus has given me. Folks, let me tell you tonight, while you got your heads bowed, you're not waiting for Jesus to give you the abundance of living. You're not waiting for the kingdom of God. You've got those things. What God is waiting for is for you to start enjoying it in such a way that that innermost kingdom of joy and jubilance will bubble up and swell up in such a way that it'll break out into your mortal genes, and your image will be changed in such a way that you'll outshine the noonday sun. You've already got that heavenly treasure in earthen vessels. He's waiting for you to believe and enjoy it. This is the day the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Praise God, Brother Allen.